Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. This week saw the annual conference of the Science Communicators Association of New Zealand. Among the topics, finding common ground on contentious issues and discussing science when science itself is under fire. One man who knows more than most the importance of communicating science to the public, Prime Minister's Chief Science Advisor Sir Peter Gluckman, who joins me now. Peter, I found an old archive piece of you in the media from 25 years ago chatting away about vivisection. How long is it? When did you first discover the importance of talking to the media, talking to the public about science?
I think ever since I've been a scientist, which is from the mid-1970s, I've felt an admiration for those who were able to talk, explain what they were doing to the public well in science. And I think given that the public is affected by science, generally pays for the science that's been done, they have a right to understand why we're doing something, what it will mean, what it will not mean, and what its implications are. As my career in science has progressed from being a young scientist to being somewhat older, I become more acutely aware that all the complex issues of the world involve science and technology, both in creating and in solving them, and that science should not be arrogant. Science should be well communicated to the public. The nature of science has changed, and the public needs to appreciate that, as does the media. But that it's only when the public has a full understanding of what science will mean and do for improving the human condition, for sustaining our environment, and for assisting our economic growth, that politicians can and will act.
It seems to me the problems with effectively communicating science to the public involve three main barriers: the scientists, the media, and the public. Would you think that's fair enough?
I don't think the public's a barrier at all. I think the public is genuinely very interested in science. Science education is in general in New Zealand pretty good. Clearly we can improve it, and I'll be releasing a report in a few days on science education. But I think that the problem is scientists in general are not trained communicators. Scientists have sometimes their own objectives in communicating to the public, which relates to their own situations. And the media, of course, is trying to either sell marketing or whatever, if it's in the traditional media, or it may be it's pushing a particular agenda if it's in the new non-traditional media. And so that what we need to do is work out ways to assist the public to know what is the basis of this science being communicated. Is it being responsibly filtered, in other words, being analysed by the media for its balance of content, and which was the role of the traditional media, or is this unfiltered information coming through the blogosphere, which may be confounded by values, biases, etc., etc., by either the communicator or by the scientist involved? This is all very important because the nature of science itself has changed. Yes, there is still a lot of what I call linear science, that is, where science is setting out to solve a particular problem. Did birds evolve from dinosaurs? Yes, they did. How many species of kiwi are there? Well, there's more than there were before, because with new molecular biology we discovered that there's five, not four, species of that. That's linear science in a traditional model. But now there is what some people call post-normal science. I don't quite like that term. Or what I would simply call the science of complex systems, where the science is about very complex systems which involve lots of interactions, many of them not entirely predictable in a linear sense, and feedback loops and so forth.
Would climate science?
Climate science, obesity science, biosecurity science, food security science, water security science. These are all areas, urban science, these are all traffic science. These are all areas where the science is not about giving an absolute answer. The science is actually about understanding what all the interactions are and making the best prediction on what perturbations in that system might mean. Much of medicine's like that. That's why you get unexpected side effects from drugs after drugs have gone through all that extensive development.
Or on the other hand, you get positive side effects, don't you, that no one had ever thought of?
Yes, and you and I are both thinking of one of this particular
aren't we? There is that one, Viagra, I presume you're talking about. There's also the hair growing pills, which were developed for something else.
Again. Sure, because human biology is a very complex system. The point I'm trying to make there is that in complex science, science is not dealing in absolutes of certain answers. It's dealing with uncertainty, probabilities, and risk. And that three complex issues to transmit to the policymaker and to the public, given the history of understanding linear science about developing facts and factoids. It's a very different kind of science. The other interesting thing about this science is that often it interplays with value systems. There are lots, once you get into complex systems, particularly involving the environment or our health or the economy, you're dealing also with value systems. And therefore it's very important to know where is the limit of science and what science can tell you and where other domains properly come into play. The classic example would be the abortion debate, which has been particularly ferocious in North America, where people have tried to argue the debate on scientific grounds as to when does a human life start. Well, science can't answer that question because life is effectively a continuum. The issue is a purely a values issue. What some people believe, what people believe are about values of certain rights and beliefs, and therefore that has to be dealt with by civil society using the process of democracy to deal with it. Science can't solve that problem for the society.
Do you think we are well served in New Zealand at the moment?
I think we have some very good science communicators, both some of whom are scientists and some of whom are non-scientists. And of course the point is that science communicators can come from multiple sources. I think their ability to project, and Paul Callaghan comes to mind, obviously, Russell Brown comes to mind, obviously, in terms of people from the media side. Peter Griffin's doing a marvellous job with the Science Media Centre and so forth. The issue is not that we don't have good people. The issue is do we have the right outlets and the right set of tools. We're a small market. Traditional media outlets are revenue constrained. We don't, and so I think the issue is how do we actually deal with what we have and make it more accessible to the public?
Well, I think you look at, for example, at a TV, at either of the TV networks, and obviously I have an involvement with one of them, but they have maybe three political reporters, no science reporter.
Well, I think that's sad. I mean, I think if you look at it the other way around, say, does the public want it? The answer is undoubtedly they do. I'm told by the editor of Wall Street Journal Asia that the top stories that are looked at on his blog, on their website, are always the science stories. And of course, they have taken the time to produce good, non-sensationalist, informing stories about complex biology.
Which doesn't translate well to television, of course, where you need sensationalist shorts. You know,
New Zealand Herald, New Zealand Herald packs its pages with stories downloaded from The Wire about science. Why on earth they don't show New Zealand stories is simply a matter of they can't apparently afford science reporters. And of course, we're still all exploring what will be the impact of the net, the electronic media. And there I think the real issue is an interesting one is, will we get the situation where the user of the web will be able to distinguish between reliable sources or analysed sources of information from raw sources of information, which can be often less reliable?
Filtering.
Filtering is a word I've used to do that. You can sort of see that in Wikipedia is a start down that process, and maybe we're going to have to see similar processes at work in terms of how science is sold in a day-by-day, instantaneous world we now have.
Do you think that because of the lack of budget and resources that some of the media have to put into science, it's very easy for journalists and the media, therefore, to be hijacked by people who are pushing barriers because they don't have the time to research the claims that are being made?
Yeah, but it also helps them sell, doesn't it? Because you set up moral equivalency arguments and you create controversy where, in fact, there is no controversy, or you hype a story out of all magnitude. And I don't think it's one-sided.
The
scientists enjoy the psychic reward of the publicity, and so you can see how in the interaction it grows. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think this is the problem. I mean, we do need the reflective journalism that comes with a bit of time to think on it.
Finally, then, where is the next step for us? What is the biggest step we need to take to be more effective in communicating science to the public?
Well, first of all, I think scientists and science organisations have got to get better at making themselves more accessible to science communicators and the media. And that's hard for some of them. Many scientists don't have that psyche. And in Britain, my friend Robert Winston is arguing that every scientist should have communication skills as part of their training, just like every doctor has communication skills as part of their training. Then, so that's number one, is I think the science community has a lot to change. Secondly, the media has to understand that a well-written story doesn't have to be full of breakthrough hype and so forth in order for the public to want to read about it. Furthermore, the media has to start understanding, as does the science community, that when we're communicating about science and complex science, we should not be afraid, as a scientist, say we don't know, or this is not a question that can be answered scientifically. It's actually a question that may have a scientific underpinning, but the questions are those for society, for civil society as a whole. And so I think that there is a common problem for both the scientists and the media, and that is to get a better understanding of the real need of what we as scientists do to our future, both as people, the planet, and to our environment, but not to over-exaggerate what we will do, but also not to underestimate what we can do. New Zealand certainly needs to use science far more effectively if we're to have a vibrant economy.
Thank you very much for your time. That's Sir Peter Gluckman. After the break, North and South editor Virginia Larson on 25 years of the magazine and an Emerald City.